The Fringe Radio Network is supported by advertising and donations. But Tony K and A Minute to Midnight is supported 100% by donations only. Please visit aminutetomidnight.com and support Tony K and his family. Tony K needs your help. So we ask you to visit A Minute to Midnight and support him. aminutetomidnight.com.
You are listening to the Fringe Radio Network. FringeRadioNetwork.com.
Hi folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com. Please make sure you subscribe to us at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. There are so many things happening all the time, it's hard to keep up. But one thing I'm noticing more and more is the fact that the global technocratic elite is making it very obvious that their goal is a one world government. And events that are happening are largely to control people and to bring us into their one world government, which the Bible foretells is what will happen in the end days. Recently in Abu Dhabi, they held the World Government Summit, and I want to play you some clips here that show you the mindset of people like Klaus Schwab and where they are wanting to take this, and I'll just comment a few times as I'm showing you them.
There are some people who claim we are now in a deglobalizing world. But actually, I would say we have to re-globalize this world. We have to make sure that we strengthen cooperation because, as it was mentioned, we are faced with issues which are of existential importance for humankind. Our common future is at stake.
So straight away there, we see Klaus Schwab presenting himself exactly how the elite want us, the common people, to see them. That is, our saviors, those that know how to fix the problems. Too bad that it's those same, the elites, that have largely created the problems. But their solution is globalization.
When we finished our annual meeting in Davos just 3 weeks ago, there was a lot of discussion about what some people call the capability of humankind to cope with so many challenges at the same time. There was the word of multi-crisis, but actually, we are not in a world of multi-crisis. We are in a world where simultaneously we are caught in deep systematic transformation processes. So there's a difference between a crisis and a transformation. If you manage a crisis, you want to come back to the original point as fast as possible. You want to correct the situation. But in a transformational situation, you have to manage change to come out at the end of the transformation in a better situation compared to the beginning. The world at the moment, as I just mentioned, faces many of those transformational processes. Systemic processes, structural changes.
So there we have Ordo Ab Chao, or order out of chaos, as in the Masonic mantra. And what we see here is the crisis is being basically created by these elites, and then they come as our savior. And who would argue that the world is better now than it was pre the COVID pandemic in 2019. I think anyone in their sane mind would rather how the world was like pre-2019 rather than the direction they're taking us in since the pandemic?
I think the fourth revolution, industrial revolution, will be in our mind for quite some years to come. But what is very essential, my concern, my deep concern, is that those technologies, if we do not work together on a global scale, if we do not formulate, shape together the necessary policies, they will escape our power to master those technologies. Because artificial intelligence, it's relatively easy, let's say, to understand how a computer functions. Of course, if I go back to the first industrial revolution, how a steam engine functions. But how does really quantum computing function? How does artificial intelligence, particularly if it's self-replicating, functions? So one of my concerns is how to shape the necessary policies to make sure that those technologies serve humankind. But the second concern which I have, and where governments have an important role, the change goes so fast in our world, and will go even faster. How can we make sure that the individual, each citizen, doesn't feel overwhelmed by change because he cannot understand really what's going on? And if we do not understand, we become fearful and we react negatively, and we see the first consequences already in many countries with polarization of the public opinion. It has to do with some feeling that we lose control over our own fate.
Now, we know from Klaus Schwab's book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, as well as some of his other interviews and so forth, that he is an advocate for transhumanism, or the enhancement of humans, evolving humans into something more than what we are now through artificial intelligence and robotics and the integration of, you know, basically all of these things together and implanting in people and so forth. So what is very clear here is that the elites, and Klaus Schwab is sort of like the spokesperson for an elite class of puppeteers, and what they are basically saying here is they recognize where this is going. They want it to go in this direction, but they are absolutely adamant that they need to control it and take it in the direction they want it to go in. And of course, it's going to create fear in people, and people will be very well aware that their freedom is being choked out because it is this elite class that want to control the direction of it all and control the narrative that we see. And if you don't fit in with their vision, look out. That's basically where it stands. In the mindset of elites like Klaus Schwab, there is no room for dissenters. And they can spout things that make it sound as if they are benign and that they care about the planet and the state of the planet and the fate of the people on it. But the reality is that they consider us as useless eaters or a cattle class that are totally dispensable, and they see themselves above that.
And we are just now where we move into the exponential phase. And I agree, artificial intelligence, but not only artificial intelligence, but also the metaverse, near space technologies, and I could go on and on, synthetic biology. Our life in 10 years from now will be completely different, very much affected, and who masters those technologies in some way will be the master of the world.
And there you have it in a nutshell, masters of the world. Now, Klaus Schwab doesn't believe he himself alone will be the master of the world, obviously, but it's the elite class of Luciferians taking us into the beast system. They want to see themselves as the masters of the world and to make sure that they control what is going on and shape the direction. As I say, order out of chaos. They create the chaos in order to bring their order, the one world, new world order. That's their goal.
To me, the big question is, so how is this transition going to happen? I mean, I totally agree that the world order, the way it is built today, doesn't make any sense. That is, it's not in line with the economic powers like India, Brazil, or Germany, you know, that they don't have a massive role in the international order. But to me, the big question is, so how we are going to go through this transformation? It cannot be gradual. It has to be driven by a certain shock that will happen. So now we will reconsider this entire.
No, so if your question is that this period could be turbulent, could have violence, yes, could have conflicts, we are already living it. Yeah. I think the last 5 or 6 years tell us that we are going through a rather turbulent phase. Mm-hmm. We have lost a large part of humankind to the pandemic because we were all selfish. We were not willing to share. We were not willing to use the global institutions to deliver responses to different parts of the world. We have lost people. Now, how much more bloodshed do we need to understand that the transition is upon us?
See, there you have it again. They're basically telling us that you are selfish if you do not believe what we're telling you to believe, if you do not follow what we're telling you to follow, if you do not take the things in your body that we're telling you to take, then you are selfish and you are the problem. But of course, if you have half a brain to have looked at what's going on, you should know we've been lied to big time. And I won't go into the details of that because I want to keep this on YouTube if possible, this video. But I'm sure many of the listeners will know exactly what I'm talking about, how we have been lied to and things pushed for people to take into their bodies, which never were what they were claimed to be. And many of us knew that ahead of time anyway. But it's all about control and they want to push us into their one world government. Two things are important for them to get to their much vaunted one world government, and they are digital identity and censorship. They need to get everyone in the world to have a digital identity so they can be fully controlled, and they need to censor the opposition. Call it disinformation, call it hate speech, or whatever they want to call it, in order to censor it, to keep dissenting voices out from being heard. And that is their goal, has been a big time goal and will continue to be so. And the digital identity for every man, woman and child on the planet is central, as you can see from these World Economic Forum graphs or these wheels from their website, from which everything else emanates or revolves around the participation through digital identity. Now, with that in mind, listen to this. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Local farmer sounds the alarm. Why did East Palestine launch My ID emergency service to surveil biometrics 1 week before Ohio train derailment? A man who lives 9 miles away from where the Suffolk Southern train carrying toxic chemicals derailed in East Ohio reached out to the Gateway Pundit to sound the alarm on the bizarre coincidences that continue to pile up surrounding the incident. Bob Moore, a 70-year-old farmer and longtime resident of East Palestine, initially ignored local news reports urging residents to sign up for My ID to receive a new biometric tracking device that provides first responders updates about an individual's health conditions amid an emergency or major disaster. But suspicious timing of the government's distribution of this health monitoring digital ID exactly a week before the disaster warrants answers, Moore told the Gateway Pundit, in an exclusive interview. It was exactly a week before the derailment happened, Moore said. The people were asked to go to the local fire department in downtown East Palestine to get that My ID. They began monitoring your physical activity, your heart rate, your respiration, anything you might be exposed to. I see this as the kind of sensor you would put on an astronaut or an athlete that you wanted to track to see how it'd react to stress or being winded, or in this instance, chemical exposure. It's a monitoring device. Now, for whatever reason, many times the Luciferian elite use predictive programming to tell us ahead of time what they're going to do. Now, I want to read just a few little bits from an excellent article. The rest of the article's well worth reading as well, from the dailycrow.com, titled America's Chernobyl. Our friends at the CDC began a probe in January, specifically targeting the effects of vinyl chloride on human health. Coincidentally, days later, the largest test case ensued, 70 days before the nightmare that has befallen East Palestine, a movie filmed in the areas surrounding East Palestine was released. White Noise included residents of the East Palestine in the film. The plot was a train crash that resulted in a cloud of chemical waste over the town where an airborne toxic event forced a mass evacuation. We will cover the two most remarkable coincidences I've stumbled across thus far involving East Palestine. Days before the East Palestine train derailment that included 14 cars carrying vinyl chloride, the CDC released a toxicological profile for vinyl chloride draft for public comment. A movie was released in 2022 where a cataclysmic train accident casts a cloud of chemical waste over the town. The airborne toxic event forces a mass evacuation, which leads to a major traffic jam on the highway. Many of the extras were East Palestine residents, as it was filmed in and around Salem. Vinyl chloride. Why did one of the largest ecological disasters in US history have to involve vinyl chloride? And why did it have to be 3 days after the January 2023 CDC report? Vinyl chloride is a substance most never heard about until East Palestine was number 4 on the 2022 priority lists after arsenic, lead and mercury. The CDC really wants to learn about how this substance impacts human health. Toxic substances don't usually lend themselves to large double-blind placebo human studies. How convenient that tens of thousands were just exposed to us. Various forms from a perspective that will allow for observations far beyond any lab setting. Now, basically, we see screenshots from the 293-page report. You can find them on the Daily Crow website. There's a whole lot of stuff about vinyl chloride there. I don't believe that the train derailment and the burn-off was an accident in any way, shape, or form. But two senators from Ohio, J.D. Vance, who's a Republican, and Sherrod Brown, who's a Democrat, wrote to the Environmental Protection Agency on February 18th about the presence of dioxins. Now, dioxins, according to the World Health Organization, are highly toxic and can cause numerous health problems for humans. In fact, they're one of the deadliest chemicals. Dioxins are classed as PBTs, which means they're persistent, bioaccumulative, and toxic. We're concerned that the burning of large volumes of vinyl chloride may have resulted in the formation of dioxins that may have been dispersed through the East Palestine community and potentially a much larger area, the two senators added. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the elite see us as cattle class. So perhaps dioxin is not such a far-fetched way that they could look at the population of Ohio and Pennsylvania and West Virginia as well. Now I just want to take you to a small clip. It's part of a longer 30-minute presentation at Davos in January 2023. And I would say, if this doesn't give you some concerns, you're asleep.
Artificial intelligence has enabled advances in decoding brain activity in ways that we never before thought possible. You've heard a lot about AI over the past few years. Here at Davos, it's been the talk of the hour. But I want to talk about it in a different way, which is the ability to decode brainwave activity. After all, what you think, what you feel, it's all just data. Data that in large patterns can be decoded using artificial intelligence. Consider this. The average person thinks thousands of thoughts each day. As a thought takes form, like a math calculation, you're happy, you're tired, you're hungry, you're elated. Neurons are firing in your brain, emitting tiny electrical discharges. As a particular thought takes form, hundreds of thousands of neurons fire in characteristic patterns that can be decoded with EEG, or electroencephalography, and AI-powered devices. In fact, what you're seeing here is my brain activity while I'm wearing a simple device like the one on the right. We're not talking about implanted devices of the future. I'm talking about wearable devices that are like Fitbits for your brain. It used to be that there was very little we could tell from EEG activity. But already, using consumer wearable devices, these are headbands, hats that have sensors that can pick up your brainwave activity, earbuds, headphones, tiny tattoos that you can wear behind your ear, we can pick up emotional states like, are you happy or sad or angry? We can pick up and decode faces that you're seeing in your mind. Simple shapes, numbers, your PIN number to your bank account. It's not just your brain activity here that we can pick up. We can also pick up your brain activity in different places, like as your neurons fire from your brain down your arm and send signals to your hand to tell you how to type, move. All of that can be decoded through electromyography, and that's what you're seeing here as a device now in the form of a simple wearable watch that can pick up that activity. And one of the pivotal acquisitions of the field, Meta acquired this company, Control Labs, in 2019 because major tech companies are investing in helping to make these devices universally applicable as the way in which we interact with the rest of our technology. In fact, the coming future, and I mean near-term future, is these devices being the primary way in which we interact with all of the rest of our technology. Rather than a mouse or a keyboard, you can simply swipe with your mind, move your hand more seamlessly when you're in VR or AR, use your brain as the way in which you interact with all of the rest of your technology, which is an exciting and promising future, but also a potentially scary one, a transformative one, one that will change the way that we interact with other people and even how we understand ourselves.
Folks, we live in perilous times, in times where the elite believe that they can play God. But Jesus warned us of the end days would be like this, and in fact, he stated in Matthew 24, verse 22, that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The transhumanists want to take us into a humans 2.0 future. We're just hackable animals, and they want to control our future through controlled evolution, according to Harari.
The most important thing to know about living in the 21st century is that humans are now hackable animals.
Well, I want not a bar of any of that. So folks, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus and our hearts right before him. That's a bottom line. That's it for this video, folks. A Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations. If you want to donate, you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. Please subscribe to our blog at aminutetomidnight.com, and also the music used. I've written, played, and recorded all of it, and you can download free music of mine at the website as well. So God bless, folks, and God willing, we'll be back soon with another video.
The Fringe Radio Network is supported by advertising and donations. But Tony K and A Minute to Midnight is supported 100% by donations only. Please visit aminutetomidnight.com and support Tony K and his family. Tony K needs your help. So we ask you to visit A Minute to Midnight and support him. aminutetomidnight.com.
You are listening to the Fringe Radio Network. FringeRadioNetwork.com.